In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Volume 33, November 24th, 1934. While following the acts of the fiat, I arrived at the moment of creation of man, and I was thinking to myself with how much intensity of love was innocent Adam able to love the Lord before sinning. And my beloved Jesus, surprising me, said to me, "My daughter, he loved me as much as it is possible for a creature to love. He was harmony, a complexity of love. Not even a fiber of his was empty of love for his creator. He felt the life of his creator alive, palpitating in his heart. True love calls in every instant the beloved and, by giving him his life together with his love, takes back as his own life he whom it loves. Now, my daughter, the love in Adam before sinning was perfect, total. My will was holding his life so deeply that he felt my life more than his own life. As soon as he sinned, the life of my fiat withdrew, and we left our light with him, because without light he would not have been able to live. He would have returned into nothingness. In creating him, we did as a father that puts his goods and his life itself in common with his own child. Now this son disobeys. He rebels against his own father, and the father with sorrow is compelled to put him outside of his residence, not allowing him any more to possess in common neither his goods nor his life. But his love is so deep that even though distant, does not let his son be without the necessary things, the means of strict necessity, because he knows that if the father withdraws, the life of the child is over. Thus acted my divine will. It withdrew its life, but left its light as help, support, and as necessary means, so that its child might not perish entirely. Now, by withdrawing its life, all things and works of God remain veiled for man. He himself, man, having the intelligence, the memory, the will veiled, remained as those poor, unhappy, dying people that by covering the pupil of their eyes with a thin veil, don't see clearly any more the life of the light. Amen, fiat.
Thank you very much. One of the things that we see here is that Luisa Picarreta, she is doing her rounds. And as I have mentioned before in other sessions, this, after Luisa learns how to live in union with the divine will, after she is confirmed in the possession of the divine will operating in her soul, she understands now that it's her duty to love God and to give all his creation back to him. Just to go over and over and over and over doing the rounds, basically. And in the higher volumes, this is what she is doing. Many of the times, she begins like we read in this passage. I was doing my acts, I was following my acts in the divine will. And then she will tell us, like in this passage, I arrive at the moment of creation of men. Some other times she is doing the rounds of redemption, but she's always doing the rounds because one of the things that we have to understand is that it's not enough just to know about the gift of divine will and to read and to unite our acts to the divine will, but this is how we are supposed to exercise this way of living. These are the prayers basically done in the divine will. These are the original prayers. This is the original way of praying, because this is what Adam was doing too, also at that moment before the fall. This is what he was doing. He was going around recognizing everything in creation and just putting his I love you, his act of praise, glory, honor, adoration, basically his act of correspondence. And this is, we read last week, this is the loving expectation that God has for all of us. The loving expectation of God for the creatures is that we may learn how to correspond that love that is in there, the love of God. And now that we know this writings, now that we know this way of living, now that we know this way of exercising ourselves in the divine will, this is what we are supposed to do. This is what the writings calls us to do. And by doing this, we fulfill what the catechism tells us, that we are supposed to love God, to serve him, and to return all creation back to him. That's one thing. The other thing is that our Lord Jesus tells us that Adam was able to feel the love of God as much as it is possible for a creature, in that he was able to actually feel that correspondence, as he was corresponding God, and God was filling him with his own life. He was able to see and to understand and to feel that light that he was receiving over and over and over and over and over and over. Unfortunately, because of the fall and because original sin and also mortal sin in the state that we are in, we are not able to feel that. We are not able to feel that in ourselves. Even when we receive the sacraments, we are not able to see what the sacraments really confer to us. We understand it through the explanation that the church gives us about the sacraments, and we know that it's real, that we receive that infusion of grace, sanctifying grace in the sacraments, but we are not able to see that with the physical eye. But one of the things that we are able to understand from this writing is that Adam was able to basically see that light and feel that joy in himself and be able to rejoice. And as he was able to rejoice by being floated with those qualities of God being given to him, and he, as he was being filled with that, he felt that joy, that peace, and he was able to he was able to basically to hold it and to experience it as much as possible, as much as the creature is able to receive that. But with every act and with every act of correspondence, he was also able to grow and to acquire a new capacity. So every time he was able to receive more and to have a greater capacity to receive more and more. That's why the Lord says he was able to feel it and to love as much as possible for a creature, meaning that he was growing in that. That's why he was growing in the likeness of God. He already possessed his image imprinted in his soul, but he was able to grow in the likeness at every time. Every time he was being filled to the brim and always growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And unfortunately, we are not able to experience that anymore ourselves because of the fall. But we have to believe that this is exactly what happens. And another thing that the Lord explains here to Luisa Picarreta is how, if after the fall, that light that Adam contained, as he lost that light, he was supposed to return into nothingness. This is what basically we deserve it. All the human race deserve it after the fall, is that we may turn into nothing. The whole creation that we see that it was done is by saying, Fiat, let it be the light. And as God created in the book of Genesis, we see that account. God was creating everything for man, and at the fall, what really we deserve, the whole human race deserve, was to return into nothing, to become nothing, to be not, to just basically to disappear. But God, in his infinite mercy and love for man, because he created everything out of love for man, for all the human race. That's one principle in God, that he cannot do anything except by love. Everything he does is out of love. That's the only reason God creates and God acts, out of love for all the human race. Out of love, he created everything that exists. All creation is there. Out of love, he became man. He suffered his passion, death, and resurrection out of love for us. And out of love for us, he sent the Holy Spirit to the church to sanctify us, to make us complete, to bring us into that union with him through the sacraments. And so it is through the sacraments that God operates, and his grace operates in us. I just want to mention one particular passage that I think is very important, and it will give us a little bit of understanding about the gift of the divine will through the words of Pope Francis. In his book, Walking with Jesus, Pope Francis, when he comments about the sacraments, and in particular about the sacrament of confirmation, he says the following. Confirmation, like every sacrament, is not the work of human beings, but of God. So we know that the sacraments, they were instituted by our Lord Jesus. They confer sanctifying grace to all of us, and it's not the work of human beings, but it's the work of God himself. He instituted the sacraments, Jesus, and he is God. And then he says, but is the work of God who cares for our lives. And this is the following passage is very important for us. to understand the divine will and to see that there is a connection, there is a continuity, and to see how everything that we have in the church is leading to towards the understanding of this gift. So he says that God cares for us, for our lives, as to mold us in the image of his son. So we have to be molded after the image of Christ. And then he says, to make us capable of loving as he loves. And this is exactly what the gift of the divine will is, that whenever we immerse ourselves in the divine will and we unite ourselves to the will of God, he already has the permission, the consent to operate in us, to be able to mold us and to give according to his will. And to mold us through the action of the Holy Spirit, through the sacraments, but through this way of living now, by consenting, by giving our free will to God, by saying yes, now, our Heavenly Father, through this gift, He's able to mold us after His Son Jesus and to give us the capacity to love as his son Jesus loves him. So this is very important for us, that the sacraments, they give us that capacity. And when we start practicing this way of living, these writings, and put them into practice, this is what is happening. We will be able to love God in a perfect way, as much as creatures are possible to love God while we are on this journey on this earth. But this is the goal, that God wants to make us capable of loving as he loves. This is the plan since the beginning. This is the plan since the beginning. But it was a gradual process, that the creature was supposed to grow in that likeness. That's why in the book of Genesis, we hear that God says, let us make him in our image and likeness. So we already possess that image in our soul, but we have to grow in the likeness to be able to possess the light of God in us at every moment. And that was conferred to Adam just by the simple act of doing, of being, of remaining, do what he was supposed to do, loving God, serving him, and returning all his creation back to him by going around and corresponding. That was the loving expectation of God for the creature. And it still is a loving expectation of God for all of us. That's why the first commandment says, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, with all your being. And then, as our Lord explains here, that the love of Adam before sinning was perfect in a total way. It says, was perfect, total. Always according to the capacity of the creature, because remember, he had always the capacity to grow more and more and more. And this is the same for us. As long as we are in this journey, as we pray in the Salve, as long as we are in this valley of tears, we are able to grow, to acquire a new capacity. And I will say a surprising new capacity that one day we will be able to see. As you may remember in volume 21, when Father Aníbal appears to Luisa Picaretta, he says, I was so surprised to see how little I did and how many lives, how much those little things that I did for the divine will, they did in my soul. And he's able to explain. So that's only one example to illustrate that we have to believe what our Lord Jesus tells us here, and we have to see that connection, that these writings, they are very connected with the catechism, and as I mentioned it today, even with the teachings of Pope Francis in his book, Walking with Jesus. By the way, it's chapter 9. That quotation is chapter 9, is in chapter 9 about the confirmation. I think it gives us a clear understanding also through those words of Pope Francis. We can understand also the gift of the divine will, that this is the purpose that God wants us to be capable of loving as he loves. And it begins with the sacraments, and now that we understand and we have this divine science, now we are able to understand that it's not only in the sacraments, but if we are in the state of grace and we practice this way of living, at every moment, that light will be confirmed in us. It will be given to us. And we will acquire always, always, always a new capacity, always according to the capacity of the creature. And some of us, we will have less. Some of us, we will have more, because this depends on everybody. Each one of us individually, because each one of us has that will given to us, that free will that God will never override. It will always be there. And this is the gift that God gives us. St. John Vianney says, he gives us the free will so that at least we may have something to offer him. And if we give this free will to him, he can do wonders. One day we will be able to see it and to experience it. Hopefully, we pray. And we have to believe in this grace in the that the sacraments gives us. What we hear here is that Adam was receiving this light and he was being infused with new light and understanding and knowledge also. And the Lord says, because of the fall, there is a veil in our eyes that covers, and we are not able to see. Can you imagine if we will be able to see the light that is given to us? When we receive the sacraments, our hearts simply will explode out of joy. We'll not be able to contain it. That actually is called uncontainable love. The love that many of the saints, John of the Cross, experience. And if that happens, when we receive the sacraments in the state of grace, and we are not able to experience it physically, is because that veil that is in our eyes. But the more and more we grow in this understanding, we also will go, we will grow in the faith and the hope and the charity that we have received in our baptism. Even the gifts of of the sacraments, the gifts of our baptism, and the gifts of the confirmation, they will grow in us through the practice of this science, by practicing every day this way of living, because that light that emanates from the will of God and is being infused in the soul a little by little, that light will make those gifts of us, those gifts that we have received in baptism and in confirmation, they will grow in us. And remember, what happens at the end of the life? St. Paul says that of these three gifts, faith, hope, and charity, only love remains. Why? Because we need to have, at the end of our life, we need to have that gift that was given to us in baptism, the gift of hope. First of all, why? because hope will give us the vision of eternal glory. Hope will give us the beatific vision, and faith will give us the possession. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that the gift of faith, it burns, and the light of the gift of hope being burned in the presence of God gives us the vision. And then as the gift of faith burns and produces that light, it gives us the possession of that glory. So we need those to enter, first of all, to see it, and then to arrive to the possession. And that's why love is the only one that remains, because we need that love to be able to love God. But now, if you bring with you this gift, you will be able to love God with His own love. You will be able to love God in a perfect way. And that loving expectation that God has for us, it will be fulfilled. So that's why we need to make sure also that we make everything that possible for us to receive the sacraments in the state of grace, to go to confession and to receive that grace. And just picture in your mind that as the priest is giving you the absolution, is the blood of Jesus has been poured upon you from head to toe, and that light has been infused in you. It is the life of God. And as you receive communion in that state of grace, that's what you receive, that light. It is my personal belief that this is what St. Thomas Aquinas saw. That's why after he had mystical vision, he said, everything that I have written is straw. Because he was given the grace to be able to see what is conferring the sacraments and even more. So, as I said, if we were able to see that, our hearts simply will just explode out of joy. But we have to remember that the more we unite ourselves in this way of living, in this way of praying, I will say, because this is the original way of praying. Luisa Picarreta didn't, excuse me, Adam in the state of grace, he didn't have to go around doing the rounds of redemption. Because there was no need. They were in the state of grace. He didn't have to go around and do the rounds of sanctification. There was no need. They only had to go around doing the rounds of creation, loving, adoring God, corresponding everything, so that everything will be reflected. That love that is hidden in every element, in everything in creation, basically they were going around recollecting it, and with that, finding that hidden love in there, they felt more joy, more peace, more happiness, more light, and their capacity to receive was even more, and to give also. So they acquire a new capacity. For us, we have double work because thanks be to God, He became man and He came to redeem us. So now we have to go around also and to do the acts of redemption, to recognize, to adore God, and to thank Him for everything that He has done for us in the acts of creation. Not only that, but also in the acts of redemption. And I think it's also important that as we do that, we may understand, because I think that's the central part also of this, that we have to learn how to pray in this way, because this is the original way of praying that Adam was doing. And I believe also that this is what our Lord Jesus was doing whenever he retired, and whenever he went by himself and spent many hours praying and praying by himself. I have mentioned before that there is a little reference of this in the writings of Maria Valtorta, that our Lord Jesus was doing all these rounds whenever he was praying, and whenever he took time just to go in private and pray. I will recommend you to really read volume 17, May 10, 1925, and volume 17, May 17, 1925. These two passages, there is one after the others. May 10 is followed by May 17 in volume 17. So those passages, they are important for us to understand why we have to do the three rounds and why we are expected as creatures to go around and to correspond in this way. The other thing that I see here is that we see that our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta the sorrow that God had when Adam went outside of this divine will residence, that he lost all his goods, basically. And that if he didn't disappear, if he didn't become just darkness and nothingness, it was because God, he doesn't repent of the gifts he gives. That is something that even the church tells us. Right now, I don't have the reference, but it's in one of the documents of the Second Vatican Council that tells us that God doesn't repent from the gifts that he gives to us. But he's always seeking us, seeking us, seeking us. And we see this in the Gospels, in the parable of the Good Shepherd, how he leaves everything to go and find that lost sheep. And we, the whole human race, we are that lost sheep. He leaves everything behind to become man, to become human, just to find us because of the love that he has for us, because of the love of the Father compels him, the love that God the Father has for us compels him to say yes, so that we may come back to that residence, the divine will residence, so that again we will have everything in common. And it is the communion of the two wills that put us in common with God. So in receiving this gift of knowing these writings and knowing the gift of divine will and learning how it operates in us, this is the way to go back for us. And then we are assisted by the sacraments now. So when we receive the sacraments, we receive that sanctifying grace that will confirm us and will help us to remain living in this way. And as we practice this way of living daily and at every moment, it will help us also to grow in the graces of our baptism and confirmation. The Lord, at the end of this passage, says, by withdrawing his life, all things and works of God remain veiled for men. We know, again, going back to that quotation from Pope Francis in his book, Walking with Jesus, we know that the sacraments, they are the work of God. And the grace that flows from the sacrament is veiled. Because the human eye tells us it's bread, it's wine. But I know by faith that after the consecration is no bread and wine anymore. I know by faith that is the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ that is the real presence. So there is one example there, that how things are veiled. And we can say also that our acts united in the divine will, they are veiled, because again, we don't see the light. We don't see our soul expanding, but it's real. And then he says, man, by having his intelligence, his memory, and his will, there we see the image of God in us. One God, three persons, one soul, three powers, intelligence, memory, and will. It says that by having those powers of the soul veil, we remain poor, unhappy, dying people. But we don't have to be poor and unhappy and dying anymore. Because if we give our will to the Lord, he will, little by little, he will open our eyes, our intelligence, and we will be able to understand more and more and to believe it and to live it. That's what faith is. Believe without seeing. That's why in heaven we don't need faith anymore, because there is nothing to hope for and to believe. There is right there in your eyes. You will see the fullness. You will only need love to correspond, to love more and more, to love God. So, let us go to the next passage. It's a very short passage. We can cover that today.
Volume 34, December 28th, 1936. Adam, by sinning, gave all ills as inheritance to human generations, and having walked out from the beautiful heredity of the divine will in which he lived in richness, magnificence, luxuriousness of the goods of his creator, he lost the right to our goods, and with him all his descendants. But those goods were not destroyed. They still exist and were existing. And when a good is not destroyed, there is always the certainty that will come those who will have the benefit of possessing them. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So there you have your inheritance. That's the inheritance that we got from Adam. The Lord says that we have all illness. By sinning gave all illness as inheritance to all generations. Why? Because he was the head, he was the depositary of this gift. But also we see that just as through one man we lost everything, is through the sin of one man we lost everything. Now through the obedience of our Lord Jesus, we have gained everything. So this gifts, they were not destroyed. These goods that God had for us, they were not destroyed. And they still exist. The Lord says, and when a good is not destroyed, there is always the certainty that will come to those who will have the benefit of possessing them. So through the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled. Now we are not enemies with God anymore. We become sons and daughters of God through baptism. That's why baptism is important. Because original sin is the absence of the light of God in the creature. And baptism restores that presence of God in the creature. So again, we need the sacrament of baptism. And then from there, as we become sons and daughters of God, He continues to fill us with all His graces through the sacraments, through sacramental confirmation, giving light to the intellect, giving us understanding and knowledge, and all the gifts that we receive in confirmation. And then we are supposed, our journey begins towards the possession of the gift that was lost, which is the will of God operating in us at every moment. And now that we understand the sacraments and we understand that we need to be in the state of grace, it is important that we go over and over and over through those passages that I gave you, so that you really understand. I don't know how many times I have read those passages, but every time that I read them, I find something new. And I think those two passages, there are key passages also to understand our duty as creatures. How do we put this gift of divine will at work in us? And just as volume 14 is very important with the prevenient and the actual act, these two are very important too. So I would recommend you to really take some time during the week and meditate, read them over and over, and this will help you to understand as a whole the gift of the divine will operating in the soul. So I think we should finish there tonight, and let us ask, O Lord Jesus, that through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may receive the grace to keep growing in the knowledge and understanding of the gift of the divine will, to grow in the graces of our baptism, in the graces of our confirmation. And may everything be for the praise and glory of God and our sanctification. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.